Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
You don't have to be a super Christian to lead these ministries, right? Because what they're asking us to do is just to walk alongside each other.
Right.
And that's what community is,
right?
And so I don't have to fix you.
Right.
You don't have to fix me. We just have to be together,
right,
on this and
right,
share and listen to God together.
He is not a program. It's not something that you can administrate or organize. And we learned that it wasn't about leading curriculum.
Real growth and real friendship and real love had nothing to do with performance, whether I was serving, whether I was being healed of something or not. No matter what I was doing and no matter what was happening in my life, I had friends that were there for me. That's real community.
And I would say there were certainly tears, but there was also an awful lot of laughter, and being able to laugh about some of our failures, mm-hmm, and realize, hey, none of us have it together.
Right.
And there's something really refreshing about that we're all a mess at some level.
I have a group of people that know me intimately, and to know that I can come to them and say, hey, I'm struggling with this today. It's been really good because we know that there's that group that we can always rely on, right?
Community is a place where you are loved and you are listened to and you are not judged and fixed.
Oh, I love that.
Gang, that is just some of our wonderful community leaders and all of those folks who are part of Re-Engage. Maybe you've heard of our Re-Engage ministry. It kicks off at the beginning of October. It's for married couples. And I just encourage, we want everybody who's married to go through this. You could just talk to anybody who's been through it. The testimonies have been amazing. It is an awesome, awesome journey. So the sign-up's begun for that. You can go online, call Mady here, whatever it is. But that'll begin the first part of October. But also, those testimonies are coming from all of our other community groups, which you already heard from some of those. Men, I just encourage you to be here Wednesday, 6:30. We will be diving into this issue of moving from head knowledge to real encounter with God, something that most of us men have never really been taught how to do. We live in this realm here, and it keeps us from a lot of what the Scripture has for us. So it's going to be great. We've got a great community there on Wednesday. And, of course, ladies, you've got a whole bunch of studies. Folks, the Christian life is lived out in community. It's the real transformation, the real stuff that happens doesn't happen actually right here in the larger group. It happens when we get smaller groups and we share our lives with the Spirit of God work in that, and we develop friendship. And this is what we've been talking about, better together, community, and the importance of that. We were designed for it. We were built for it. We come created in the image of a God who lives in perfect community himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That explains our longing, right, to belong and to have genuine community. And we know the culture we live in today, that real community is hard to find. Even just talk about our own community right here in Aspen. It's hard to find, get plugged into healthy community. And so we're really going after this idea this fall about the importance of being connected. And that's what we want to put out for you all is, please, just don't be here on a Sunday. This is a great start, but boy, step into the family. And church is not just a place we attend, pop in and pop out. It's a family. It's a community of those who follow Jesus, and we need each other. That's how this whole thing works. We are, as I said, in this series, Better Together. This morning, we are breaking down this idea of what community is. I want to talk to you this morning about exposing one of the greatest killers to true community. One of the greatest killers to community, whether it be in a marriage, whether it be in a family, whether it be in a small group, whether it be in a whole church, one of the greatest killers is the lack of vulnerability. And I want to talk to you about this very important issue of vulnerability. It's key in our relationship with God. It's key in developing intimacy with any relationship, and it's absolutely necessary for healthy community. So if you go to the next slide for me here, I just want to give you a big outline, and I'll be coming to this on and off throughout this series, but these are our eight core values for community. When we talk about community, they help us define what it is here at Crossroads, and basically I'm just preaching through these. Started with biblical, the idea that obviously you have to have something to unite on, otherwise you can't have true community. You have to have a foundation, and again, that flows from who God is. He lives in community. The only thing in all the world that can explain our longing for community is our God who lives in community and has sent forth Jesus to rescue us back into that community, right, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And last week we looked at this issue of humility, being humble. And we don't move in relationship, we don't move in intimacy, especially with God, but also on the horizontal plane with each other, unless we really get in touch with our need of God and then our need for each other. We isolate and our hearts harden when we don't get in touch with that need. And we've got plenty of that going on in our culture, right? Is I don't need God. And as long as that attitude is there, as long as we have this idea, I can suck up, I can do it, is we remain isolated from God and our heart remains hardened. And it has a radical impact also in the sense of our relationship with others. And then we're going to come to vulnerability this morning. Folks, all of these flow. There's a spiritual maturity in this movement from biblical to humble to being vulnerable. Obviously, being vulnerable is being willing to open up. And folks, we never really move towards God unless I'm willing to open up my life, everything to God. Jesus says, come and deny yourself, follow me. The requirement of that is to be open to God. And as we're going to see, obviously every thought and intention of our being is known and exposed to God. So why hide? Why try to think we can hide anything from him and run and isolate? It's universal though, right? Goes all the way back to the garden. It's exactly what Adam and Eve tried to do. They tried to hide from God. They tried to cover their sin, shame, and guilt. They tried to lock it away, keep it from God. And we've been doing it ever since. And it is what keeps us from getting deliverance and freedom and blessing and salvation from God, being reunited with him. And it is what keeps us in dysfunctional relationships in life and keeps us from really experiencing healthy community that we were created for. And from there, we move on to being teachable, is that we have to be willing to say, all right, God, I'm on this journey. Speak to me. I have to be willing to hear God's word and be willing to line my life up with it. This is where growth comes. And we move from there being accountable. Then the next aspect of maturing is, Lord, okay, I learn to be accountable to others, right? In fellowship and community with others, I'm like, hold me accountable to my actions. I'm a follower of Jesus, and obviously as a pastor with elders and leadership, I'm accountable to the elders of the church, how I live my life. Am I living and loving my Michelle and my family and in how I carry myself? And am I willing to be held accountable? It is an absolute necessity if we're going to grow and mature. Who's holding us accountable? And have we moved to that place of being willing, right, to be accountable? And unoffendable, love this one. Folks, this is where we become gospel-centered, where the gospel of Jesus, his forgiveness over our sin, our shame, our guilt, it is the filter that we start living by. And so when somebody shoots off something at us, we don't just buck up and we don't harden our heart and we don't get all offended and all angry. No, we do exactly what the scripture commands us to do, which is even to love our enemies. The filter, right, is being gospel-centered. Jesus, because of your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness over me, I'm going to respond differently here. I'm not going to carry that any longer. I'm going to live undefendable. That's living free under gospel. That's part of the abundant life that Jesus called us to live under. That's part of the joy and the fruit of the Spirit coming alive. That's part of the radical testimony of a believer who is set on fire by God when the world encounters them and encounters this sense of freedom and joy and grace. Unoffendable. Then we move from there to being faithful, not selfful, but faithful. And we start learning the Spirit-led life, being filled by the Spirit. We start embracing the gifts and the blessings that God has for us. We start understanding our unique contribution, not just our natural talents, right? A lot of folks just serve and everything under just naturally who they are. So it's not what God calls us to do. As believers, as followers of Him, we're to serve supernaturally. God moving through us. And that's being faithful, learning how to do it, learning our vital place in God's family, in His church. Not just to be a participant, but to be intimately involved, that understanding that our gifts, each of us, is critical for the health of the community and for the body itself. Being missional. Finally, we come here is that God's point is for us to join Him on His mission, on Jesus' mission to bring the love of God and the power of God to a lost and dark world. And He calls us to share in that mission. And so that really defines what the Bible talks about is being healthy community. And we're going to make that journey, dive into those things. And our prayer is all of those things in any of our community groups, any of our groups that are happening out there, that this is pretty simple process of determining, is this group healthy? If these principles, biblical principles, are not being pursued, it is not healthy community. It is not full growing community unless those things. And folks, we can apply every one of those to our marriage. If we're married folks, if these are not growing at these, our marriage is becoming stagnant. We're becoming having hard hearts. And that'll just impact our entire family. And our family will infect the larger impact the larger community itself. And so these are critical things that God desires for us to grow in. We need them, otherwise we isolate, right? And in isolation, folks, we can put on a great show on the outside, but our soul dies, our heart hardens, right, to God. I was thinking about this week just how much I like it when things get fixed. Anybody else like that, to be a fixer? Man, I mean, it's just silly, but I have a rear view mirror on my truck, and it just, for some reason, anytime I go off road and stuff, it just rattles loose, and then you drive down the road, the thing bounces, and it like throws you in, you know, messes with you. And I keep tightening it, and it keeps loosening. And then, so finally, I fixed it this weekend, and there was such, I can't explain the joy of that. That's done. That's fixed. That's awesome. Check off the box. And I think that's why I enjoy mowing the yard. You know, you sit back and look at those lines. It's done. Wow, that's good. Look how green and wonderful that yard looks, right? It's fixed. There's just something very satisfying about that, right? Because you know the deepest things in life can't be just fixed. And folks, I think that's why we isolate. It's because when it comes to the hard things in life, things that deep inside our soul, things we're really struggling with, right, is we shove them down. I don't know how to go about that. I don't know how to fix that, right? And so we push it aside. We lock it away sometimes, and we isolate. And we do the very thing that God would have us not do. We do the very thing that the enemy wants us to do because it's that place that he can put us in bondage. And that the lies and the isolation will eventually kill us. And it will keep us from moving forward in healthy relationship and community. And so this morning I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 4 and then a couple verses in chapter 10. It's on the screen if you want to follow along, or if you want to open up your own Bible this morning, Hebrews chapter 4. I want to start, I want to just read verse 7. This is not on the screen, but then I'll jump down to verse 12. But listen to the word of God this morning. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. How open, how vulnerable are we to hear God's voice in the midst of my own voice, in the midst of what I want to hear, in the midst of all the voices coming at us through the world? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. verse 12. For the word of God is living, it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked, exposed to his eyes, to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. No reason to hide from the one who knows everything. But so many of us live, don't we, with secrets, locking things away, thinking somehow we can hide it from others for a while. And again, like I said, this goes all the way back to the garden, Adam and Eve. When their sin was exposed, as they tried to hide from God. And humankind has been doing that from the beginning. But look at this, verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. And what is that confession? The confession that Jesus is Lord, he's Savior, and that he has come to rescue me and to redeem me. And down into the every thought and intention and dark little cranny in my soul, every shameful thing, every sinful thing, every not the highlight reels, but the reels that you want to burn and like blow up, right? Is he covers all that. His grace has covered my dark reels of life. And he's washed me and forgiven me by his death, his resurrection on the cross. For me, for you, for the world. That we would be set free and have souls alive to God again. That is our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Now, the writer of Hebrews is writing to people who are well-versed in the Old Testament and in the Judaism, the priesthood, right, of Israel. And the priests were given the responsibility to intercede between God and the people. Remember, into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. And the high priest could only go in one times a year. When Jesus died on the cross, right, Scriptures say that the veil separating the presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, that the Ark of the Covenant, that veil was ripped from top to bottom, from God down to earth, by Jesus' death on the cross. So why? Folks, let this sink in. We don't have a priest. And there's no longer a priesthood. Jesus is our priest. And he's able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect he's been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He's the perfect sacrifice. Let us then with confidence in our confession draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Let's draw near. Nothing is in the way between you in the very presence of a holy, perfect God, the one who created you, knit you in your mother's womb. Jesus has made the way. And the only thing keeping us from that, folks, is our own isolation, our own holding on to our sin, shame, the old dark reels of life, and shoving them down and trying to keep hidden from God and others things in our life, rather than letting the gospel itself, right, cover those things. Let me just turn quickly to chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, the end drawing near. There should be a stirring of one another. This is why we need community. You need to stir me, I need to stir you towards good works, towards everything that God has for us, towards faith. And when we isolate, when we neglect community, and that's the larger group together and our smaller groups together, when we neglect that, when we get busy, when we think we have greater priorities in life to pursue, than being with God's people and being the family of God and pursuing the presence of God and encouraging each other. We isolate, and as we see in the scripture, what happens is our hearts harden to the word of God. And what happens is we close up our souls and our spirits. We become less vulnerable and real, and our relationship with God becomes fake. Those are strong words. It becomes fake. Two things out of this that I want us to focus on this morning, on this idea of vulnerability. The first one is the lack of vulnerability is one of the greatest killers of true community. Why? Because it fosters lies. The lack of vulnerability, it keeps secrets, it fosters lies, it moves us towards isolation. And ultimately, what it does is it fosters a fake relationship with God. Now, what does that look like? First of all, with the lies, is folks, secrets will kill us. Secrets kill intimacy. Secrets kill marriages. Secrets kill families. Secrets kill community. They will eventually be exposed. And ultimately, God knows every thought and intention. He's our creator. He knows all. Secrets kill. But you know, the tendency for all of us, right, is to keep secrets, hide it away, think we got to protect, we have to self-protect. Vulnerability, it exposes me, it's dangerous, I can't trust, you know, all these wrestles that we all have in believing. And again, the lie itself is a powerful tool. When we lock away in our lives, just kind of close away the lies and the secrets, is it gives, listen carefully to me, the enemy space in our lives to keep us in bondage and beat the crap out of us, honestly. Most bondage in people's lives is the result of a root lie that they have believed and hidden away something in our lives. Isolation. Secrets isolate. When I'm not vulnerable, I'm isolated, my heart is hardened to the word of God, and therefore my relationship with others, oh, I might be a social person, I might have people all the time all around me, but the depth of my relationship, if I have secrets, if I'm not known with a core group of people who know me, is the level of that, I end up isolating. And folks, we hear about it all the time, don't we, in our own community? Someone who isolates, they take their own life, and all the ones closest to them say, I just never knew. I just never knew, right? Isolation is a killer. It's the enemy's strategy to isolate so he can keep us in bondage and keep us from stepping into a place where we can be vulnerable and we can open up and be who we are. That's a place of freedom, folks. Right? And we know what it's like, don't we? Because I'm going to just say it for all of us. We all know what it's like to carry a secret that we don't want anybody to know, don't we? Every one of us. Right? Even as I say that, we all probably have something that comes to mind. Boy, if they just knew that. Or boy, I hope nobody ever finds that out. Or wow, you know, whatever it may be. Even if it was a thought process, right? Because God knows those. We know what it's like to hold a secret and how burdensome, how scary, how vulnerable, how you know that it's a weight on our life. And Jesus came to set us free, the captives free. He came to just give us a life that is lived free from all that burden, right, in our lives. And finally, folks, you know, it fosters a fake relationship with God. Now, what do I mean by that? If there isn't vulnerability, what happens is someone on the outside that can attend church, they can, man, I've been in church my whole life, I've been in Bible studies, I'm super Joe Christian, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm in the Word of God, and all of these kind of things. But inside, if there's secrets, if there's things that have been locked away, then what I'm saying, let's just say if that's me and I'm shoving things and I haven't brought them before the Lord. I haven't confessed them, or I haven't exposed them for God to bring his healing on them, whatever it may be, even if it was something done to me that was traumatic that I was shamed by and that I shoved away. If that has not been brought to God, then what I am basically saying to God is, Lord, Jesus, what you did on the cross and your resurrection is not sufficient for this issue in my life. I got to hide it away. And my relationship now is fake. And my faith in the power of the cross and what Jesus did has now been corrupted. I'm living a dual life. And the scripture is very clear about not living a double-minded life. Saying one thing here, but then living a whole different way because I got this secret life. I got these things that I'm just not allowing God to touch. That is a lack of faith. That is a fake relationship with God. Pretending to, quote, be a follower of Jesus, but not allowing the gospel into the nooks and crannies of my life for him to do his saving, freeing, healing work in my life. And folks, when we allow a secret, like I said, it is an opportunity for the enemy just to keep us in bondage and open us up to a whole level of other things in our life. In the world we live in today, I don't have to tell you, we live in a fallen world. We live in an evil world. There's evil, evil, evil. And the whole online stuff, it's just another place for evil to manifest itself. And I'm sure you're familiar with a lot of the just blatantly evil. It's not just like hidden anymore. You've got blatant websites right now that are there advertising to married couples to set up a secret affair for you, specifically for married people.
What?
Right. Yeah, it's called Ashley Madison. Don't even want to say it. That's evil. But let me just tell you about this. I had a friend just this last week give me a piece of mail that came to his mailbox. It was written anonymously, but straight to him, his name and everything, all his details. Came to his mailbox and it said this. It says, listen, I'm going to get straight to the point. Is I know the secrets in your life that you have been keeping from your wife. If you do not pay me and give all these instructions through Bitcoin, is that I'm going to release all of that information that we have done research and found out about you that you have kept from your wife and others. We will release it immediately to her. And by the way, if you try to go ahead and tell her and fess up to her, is that we're going to release it publicly. Anybody receive something like that in the mail? Talk about evil. Talk about preying on what? Secrets. Secrets. The only way that's working today is why? Because the majority of guys getting that email go, oh, crap. And realize they got something that's hidden that the enemy can take advantage of, right? That's bad stuff. It's dark, isn't it? That's the world we live in. But that is just such a pure example, folks, of the darkness behind the world we live in and, folks, the consequence of living a life with secrets. The good news is this, is that vulnerability sparked by the gospel of Jesus Christ, it strengthens community, right? It fortifies it, right? It brings freedom. It breaks the bonds of lies. It breaks the bonds of isolation. And ultimately, it brings confidence, as we read here in Hebrews 4, have confidence before the throne of God. Folks, if I have secrets, I have no confidence in my relationship with God. If I haven't been vulnerable with God, if I haven't received his forgiveness in my life to cover all that, is that I'm going to live a life that I'm going to live without confidence. And if you don't have confidence, you can't live by faith. Therefore, my relationship with God is fake, and we have way too many people in the church today, because all stats show us, that claim to be Christians but are living fake Christian lives because they haven't let the gospel just cover them and heal them and set them free to be joyful people who, hey, here's my stuff, but let me tell you, the gospel has covered all this. It's covered it. I'm free. And I don't need to worry about any letter coming to my house I don't need to worry about being exposed because I am free before my God. He knows all, and I am well. It is well with my soul before God because Jesus, by his grace and mercy, I've laid it out and he's covered it. Folks, that's why it's such good news, such amazing news. Now, let me just close this section because I want to leave time just for some dialogue here and just share just from Michelle and I's experience. We were blessed to have in our dating relationship lots of healthy voices. And folks, this is one of the just tragic issues today in our culture in the realm of dating or relationships is we're just a bunch of online silos. Fragmented families, fragmented communities, and people living double lives, people creating a life of what they're not being vulnerable, hidden secrets everywhere, and it is horror stories out there, right? And we are made for community. Healthy relationships, healthy marriages flow from healthy community where you've got healthy voices, knowing both people, speaking into that, holding them accountable, right? And having them pursue the depth of relationship. We were blessed to have many of those voices, and we started into our relationship kind of bold and strong and quick. We came to a point where things were getting serious. We had our big, we served in singles ministry for years, and we called it the DTR. Anybody heard that before? Define the relationship night, right? Gentlemen, this is your role to be a leader and not just kind of leave the woman like, what is going on here? Mushy. No, you gotta be a leader means, look, at some point we got to sit down. Where is this thing going, right? Where is it going? Be decisive. Be a leader. Listen to the voice of God. Take a step of faith. Anyway, we had one of these nights. It was IHOP midnight, and it was like, yes, IHOP. We were just real romantic, real, yeah, top notch, right? Of course, at that time, I was a starving seminary student. It was like, listen, I knew she was in love because it was like, look, I got nothing to offer. We could be in another year. We could be in a tent in Africa or wherever. So just, I don't know. That night moved us into a new level of our relationship. And so all counselors in our life said, look, before you move further, right, is before you start thinking engagement, move that way. It's time to be vulnerable. All right, it's time to have some hard conversation. It's time to move into a phase where you just lay it all out. You leave nothing unexposed. Because if you're going to move to oneness, oneness in marriage is absolutely impossible with secrets. It won't work, ever. They will be exposed. They will destroy the marriage if they're not covered, right, by the gospel. And so you need to move into this phase. And, of course, like, oh, gosh, you know, would really rather not do that. But we did. We moved into it where we just started sharing. Here's some things you need to know. And started explaining. You know, it's those reels, right? Pulling those reels out of the past that you try to burn. You try to hide. You try to shove them down. And you just can't, right? And it's hard. It's hard to say that stuff, right, to the one that you're wanting to move towards in marriage with. And it's hard to hear it from them. And when it's all the ugliness and all the reality is out on the table and you look at each other, how do you move forward? What does the world, anywhere in the world, have to offer to move that forward into something beautiful? I just want to be real clear with you. It has nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can pay $1,000 bajillion to the best relational counselors in the world. It has nothing to offer. When the ugliness and the realness and the rawness is on the page and you want to move towards intimacy with this person, you see, it's one thing. The only way that that can happen in a healthy way is I first have to know at the table with Michelle on the other side of it, and I'm laying out my ugliness, and the vulnerability says, you know, not to say all the details, but to say, look, I have to be willing to answer any question she has down to the nitty-gritty detail if we're going to move forward, right? And I first have to come to a place where, Lord, I'm right with you. All of what I've laid out on this table has been covered by you. I am forgiven and clean. You know this, and you still love me, God. Don't miss this. This is gospel living. This is salvation. This is the Christian way. It's confession. God, here it is. Now your gospel cover this. And for me to hold back any of this, well, that's too dark. That's too shameful. That's too, I don't know. I can't say that, right, is a breach of faith. I am saying at that moment, Christ, your sacrifice is not sufficient to save me and cleanse me and make me right. And when the person on the other end of the table has the same, comes at the table with the same, they are right before God. Is there no matter how I respond, they are clean, forgiven, exposed to God, living free before God. When both people are at that place, now the question is the horizontal. Looking across the table, now that I've laid all this out, I know God loves me. Listen to this. But can you still love me, knowing that? This is vulnerability, right? And this is how Christians should live with each other. It is a necessity for healthy community. And the only way that she's able to say, even knowing all this, I can still love you because of what God has done. And we together will be one by bringing all of our mess to the table, and the gospel is covered. There'll be no secrets. And whatever trouble comes our way is, I live like this, exposed. That is healthy oneness. And folks, the freedom in that, the depth of intimacy you can go, you were created for that. Right? We all were. But we're missing it today. We're buying the lie. We're hiding. We're isolating. We're covering. Right? And so I ask you this morning, can you sit at the table first with God? Have you put everything on the table? God, I need you to come and forgive and wash this. Because if you haven't, you're living a fake Christian life. Jesus is Lord. That means Lord. He sees every thought and intention. There's nothing not exposed to him. Well, so why do I think holding it back, hiding it, is gonna do anything, right? Lord, here it is. Cover it. I want freedom. And folks, when Jesus said he came to give abundant life, you know, he came to set the captives free. He came first to make us so free from these things that now we're free to engage in relationship with others. Right? I'm right with God. If I'm right with God, then you, what are you going to say to me? Oh, you might reject me, but my God loves me. I'm going to love you back. That's how Christians are supposed to live. That's the power of Christian community, that is to be a light set on a hill, that is to permeate with open arms. Come receive this freedom. Come receive this love. Come receive this forgiveness. Come embrace it, right? Does that make sense, gang? Derek, y'all come on up when you get a chance. But let me just open it up as just to model what we've been modeling here, right? That this is never to be just a one-way communication, right? And as we always say, then dive into the Word of God over coffee. Get with each other's, take it deeper. Wrestle with this stuff, right? Step into community. This is where life, where things start coming alive, right? And folks, what I know in my own life and just being in ministry a long time is that when there is a block, when there is a wall, and we feel like we just aren't making progress anywhere, you know what? Almost always, there's a lie that needs to be exposed. There's some closet that needs to be opened. There's something, right, where Jesus in Revelation 3 says, he's knocking on the door. I want to come in and dine. We've just kept that door closed into a certain area of life. And that's why we feel blah. That's why we feel like we're not getting anywhere. We're spinning our wheels. God's come to bring his joy right into our lives. Thoughts, testimonies, questions. Let's talk a bit. Pray a bit. We had a phenomenal. Oh, there we go. Good. Thanks.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm hogging the mic again. How do you, if you feel like you have revealed yourself in a very vulnerable way in your marriage, how do you try and get your spouse there without coming from a place of pointing fingers, laying blame, and acting holier than thou?
Awesome question. Let me answer that as a man, and we don't have, this could be obviously a, this could be a whole, series. But men, we live up here. I'm going to just generalize. Probably very few of us had a father who taught us to be vulnerable. Probably very few of us had a father who modeled vulnerability. Probably very few of us had a father who modeled healthy intimacy with our mother in a way that he taught us how to get in touch with our soul and our spirit, what we were created to lead with, right? Most of us were taught also, I'm generalizing here, but most of us were taught too that crying, showing emotion is weakness. Shut that up. Some of us maybe more than others, right? Now we've gone, unfortunately, the opposite way, but it's a whole nother thing. And so, I could say many things, here, but let me just answer it with this one way. And this is a universal biblical truth. The primary, very few women, wives, are ever able to open the heart of their husband. It takes a man to unlock the heart of another man. Because it takes a man to hold another man accountable for loving his wife like Christ loved the church. This is the importance of men being in community. Same on the women's side. But men need to lock arms, be accountable to each other, and get each other's face. It's no different than any kind of training or anything else. The greatest thing a wife can do is not nag, because my experience, I've never seen a woman be able to do this with her husband. Every single time where breakthrough came, where she became, she just kind of went silent on the issue, interceded, and asked God, you raise up some godly men to get into his life. And it, every time in my situation, that's how huge movement. I look around the room, there's like multiple people in here who could stand up and give testimony to that principle. So I could say a lot more, but does that make sense? And there'll be many prayer warriors joining you with that for sure. We all need it. We isolate. Men, we run off to the cave, right? It's just our natural tendency. We run from things we can't fix, we run from. Can't fix that? Don't have the toolbox for that? Don't have the fishing gear for that? Doesn't make sense? Man, we're like, whoo, we're out of here, right? When the tears start flowing and the emotions start going, hey, I live in a home for lots of women, all right? And
hey now, okay, you are one blessed man.
Where'd that come from? Where is you?
Oh, you're over there. That was scary. It was like, whoo. Oh, man.
So, man, we need to run. We need to run towards each other, because in the midst of that power, and folks, I just invite you, right? 6:30, right here. I promise you, most of you don't have anything else going on at 6:30 Wednesday morning, right? To be here to do just that. Iron sharpens iron. Others go after it, right? When a man's heart opens up and he starts to learn how to get in tune with, if he's married, with the heart of his wife, that's when that's there's such power in that. And the ramifications for that is huge, just huge. It's awesome. One more. Anything else? Testimony, question, or Sean?
Hey, Psalm 139, just asking God to show you where you're offending him, and holding that question and listening, and that's worked well for me, Yeah, that part of hearing from God is like, you know, just shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, let him do the work. He'll show you, and then you can, you know, work on confessing it to your wife or to another man. That's also been very useful for me.
Yeah, all of us.
The accountability's been big for me. So
that's good, Sean. Yeah, you think about Dave, Psalm 139. You think too of David's heart, right? He's known as the man after God's own heart. Why is that? Because he was able to pray that kind of prayer. God, search me, O God. Search me, O God. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. God, is there any hidden? Is there any hidden sin within me, God? That's what made David the man after God's own heart. Are we able to pray? Is that our regular aspect? God, is there anything hidden? Anything going on? Anything I need to expose? Anything I need to confess? Lord, I want nothing. David was, the thing he was consumed with, that nothing would get in the way, right, between his fellowship with God. And that is living with open heart, and that is living being vulnerable right before God. Folks, it's a necessity, right, for true community. We ask you, we invite you in. We need to hold each other accountable. We need to push each other on for everything that God has. Remember the principle, nothing hidden can be healed. Nothing hidden can be healed. If I hide it, I'm isolated. I give the enemy power at that point. Nothing hidden can be healed. That is the principle of healthy Christian fellowship, right? Father, thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. God, let it sink in. Let us be people, Lord, that, Lord, are passionate, Lord, for your word, Lord, and we do not harden our hearts, Lord, that come to you with David's prayer, Lord, to reveal anything hidden. Holy Spirit, I just pray you'd move in this place. I pray that we take just the time right now to be quiet before you, God, to listen. And God, before we come to your table and celebrate Jesus, your sacrifice, Lord, let us do business. Let us have open hearts to you. If there's anything we need to get right with you, God, reveal it to us now, God. Unlock, Lord, those closed cabinets, those closed doors. Set us free, Lord. Lord, make us a vulnerable community, Lord, that shines bright, that welcomes, Lord, the one who is burdened, heavy burdened with secrets, God, and shame and sin. Only you, Jesus, have the solution. Gosh, Lord, we love you for that.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.